Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Market View Wrap on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. On the phone with me is Jeff Howie, strategic market analyst from the SGX. Now, Asian stocks opened higher today as a late Wall Street rally supported global sentiment, although weak US data and uncertainty about a stimulus package in Washington have put a lid on confidence. Now, US stocks ended positively in choppy trading overnight, led by something of a comeback in the technology sector, having initially sold off on higher than expected unemployment claims. In early Asian trade, Australia's ASX rose 0.12%, Japan's Nikkei 225 0.13%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index futures also rose 0.45%. The MSCI's gauge of stocks across the globe did shed 0.43%. Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives, now after all the nagging from the Fed, are saying that they're working on a $2.2 trillion U.S. dollar COVID-19 stimulus package that could be voted on as soon as next week, with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi reiterating that she is ready to negotiate on it with the White House. The US dollar, after showing some strength earlier in the week, lost ground as investors' confidence returned. The index fell 0.056%. Here in Singapore, stocks opened slightly stronger, with the SDI gaining 0.3% to 2,459 shortly after the opening bell. Advances then outnumbered decliners 86 to 30 after some 35.8 million securities worth 33 million Singapore dollars changed hands. Coming back from the lunch break, value turnover a bit thin for right now, currently about 354 million with 192 advances to 137 decliners. Across the region, the Nikkei is up, the Kospi is up, the ASX is still up. Hong Kong Hang Seng is down slightly by 0.2%. The Shanghai Composite Index down by 0.2%. Jeff,
yeah,
it's been a volatile week and very exciting for someone like me who is very new to actually having to track it very seriously. But globally in the region as well as here in Singapore, everyone saw the volatility. What are your thoughts? Can we expect more of this, or are things going to calm down?
Yeah, okay, so let's talk about that with some context. But just as you said that, are things going to calm down? I looked at the print for the industrial production here in Singapore. Very, very strong, according to the Bloomberg. So I'm assuming the Bloomberg number is correct, but it's saying we actually grew 14% month on month for our IP numbers, which would be an incredible achievement. But let's go back to that. But I guess, like you said, it has been a week where generally the market has trended lower. Mm-hmm. We did see us open early Monday high around those 25.10 levels, and we made our week low just around noon yesterday, this time yesterday, at around 24.50 and currently around the 24.65 level. So with those moves this week, we have seen some volatility creep back up. Basically, our short-term 10-day volatility gauge on the STI has effectively doubled with the moves we've seen this week, predominantly because the S&P has been off around 2% this week. And at the same time, the STI has only seen around two-thirds of those declines. With cyclicals like our big banks more defensive than the tech stocks. I think Keppel DC REIT, AM Holdings, Mapletree Industrial Trust, that trio, they're down around 4% this week, but still obviously up around 50% on average in the year to date. So a little bit of rotation, but more sell-off in the sectors that have seen more overshooting, but not including the healthcare medical supplies. Those three rubber glove manufacturer and distributors, they've all been comparatively strong this week. Top Glove and Riverstone, they've added 6%. UG Healthcare is up even more, I think 12%. And it was interesting on Monday that a filing that showed that back on Thursday last week, the Employees Provident Fund Board of Malaysia actually became a substantial shareholder of Riverstone Holdings. I think they acquired around 2 million shares. And back last Thursday, it was trading at around $3.30, which is where they bought it. But currently now the stock's back up at $3.60. So a good time for the big EPF to become a substantial shareholder of that stock. And look, they also, that stock, remember, it posted, I think it was 120% increase in its net profit back in the first half of last year. And it's also a top 40 stock this year by turnover. So that's been a highlight, I guess, that the medical supplies, as per usual this week. As we said, the tech stock's off a bit more. But I guess, back to that broader lens, the US markets are mostly off, and as you said, the stimulus has had a lot to do with it, because there have been concerns that those resilient economic numbers that we did see in the US over the past 3, 4 to 5 months has been waning, and one part of the concern is, of course, that and the more impacting part of it is that there's been less optimism for that further fiscal stimulus, given the state of partisan politics in the US ahead of the November 3 election. But as you said, last night we did see the House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, and Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, both of those representatives did basically signal a willingness to resume some stimulus talks. And as you just read out, it could be as much as $2.2 trillion US. But look, the Fed can only do so much as well, and that's the message we got this week with the Fed Reserve, basically a number of speaking engagements. And, you know, in the various communiques, they did point out that the U.S. does need more fiscal support. So I guess in many ways the Fed Reserve did kind of accelerate some of the attention on the need to get on with the election, but also not take all fiscal stimulus off the table just yet. And also should point out that one, I guess, sub-theme we did see this week, or some little bit of a rebalance this week. Remember last week we had the FOMC meeting, and the chair, Jerome Powell, did attempt to taper the expectations somewhat for the magnitude of potential inflation overshooting. And in the US, you have REITs also used as a type of inflation hedge by market participants there. So, REITs this week have been a tad weaker than the broader market. And I think the S-REIT Leaders Index is off around 2% this week, as we said, versus the STI, which has only saw around 2% of those losses. But I should also point out that, you know, in the US, the Fed has obviously been firing all its cylinders. According to a Sydney-based AAS Economics, you've got US annual money supply growth accelerating from as much as 5% at the last year, at the end of 2019, to more than 60% at the end of August, with a lot of credit growth also taking off. Hence, what we're seeing in the stock market is liquidity still flowing into our stock market, and obviously that's brought a lot of shorter term trading activity that's has been more attracted to those sectors that have been on the move, such as the global medical supply providers and those internet stocks.
Okay, I mean, let's look at the whole week in context. It did seem like weaker than expected economic data from around the world released this week did kind of spook markets. So what is it about today that is making everybody feel a little bit happier?
Well, stimulus is a lot to do with it. I should also point out too, I think a really good gauge of this is always comparing the gold price with the crude price. Gold ETF's been very popular in Singapore this year with investors, and had been popular ever since, basically one of the most popular ETFs since it's had its start here on SGX. But the interesting thing is the gold ETF is up a bit today, and so is crude oil, which is certainly not the trend for this year. The price ratio between these two, I guess, bellwether commodities, it's been stretched so far this year because gold has that safety or that diversity or that hedge appeal, which is a big contrast to crude oil, which is, of course, demand-driven, global demand-driven. So this week, we've got gold down and crude down less, you know, around 2%. However, you know, year to date, you've got a really big difference. You've got gold up 20%, crude down 35%. But as I said, both those markets are up today. So it's kind of, you know, in terms of outlooks that a lot of analysts were giving into the end of the year, they were mentioning, okay, if the tech stocks see rotation into the cyclical sectors or the segments of the market that have been sold off more, then that bodes well for, you know, especially our region in Southeast Asia, because in Southeast Asia, we are really driven by cyclical sectors, you know, banks and real estate and industrials, to name a few, and less driven than tech and healthcare like the S&P 500 is. So I think that it's the change in tempo or the abrupt from the middle of last night expectation that yes, we could have stimulus on the table in the US, and it's a lot of money. You know, $2.2 trillion US dollars is almost 3% of the global GDP pie, or you know, maybe 2.5%, I should say. But nonetheless, it's a lot of money, and hence, you have a little bit of that type of risk-on type of wave or reaction that we have seen in the morning trading.
And I noticed today our local banks are getting a bit more love too. During the week, they were challenged a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, they work in, their share price works in very strict parameters, Clarissa. You've got global banks down exactly the same. So you look at the top quartile of banks by market value across the world. You look at the median values. You've got market cap market cap weighted values. All banks around the world are generally around down 20% year to date. It's very hard to buck that trend per se, especially in the banking business, with your key drivers being interest rates, the less demand in financing, and of course having to bump up your provisions. So that they have been in line with a lot of the global moves, and they are one of those cyclical sectors that have reacted somewhat, given the amount of liquidity that is in the market, and given that the next, I guess, big macro event is the fiscal stimulus focus. You have seen this week a little bit of, more love into the banks than the tech shares and so forth that have had a lot of, obviously, attraction and interest so far in the year to date. But, it's really encouraging to see that Singapore August factory output, I should say. It's up really strongly. Production of electronics is up 44% year on year, says our Economic Development Board, which basically means your industrial production is up, 14% in the month of August from July, which is absolute, really good, incredible achievement. It's a good one because I don't think expectations were anywhere near that.
Okay, so the good vibrations that report generates, do you think we're going to carry that over into next week?
Well, I mean, a lot of it. I guess a lot of it has been, it's been a lot very measured. You know, semiconductors have fared well throughout all the numbers this year in terms of the subsegments of the industrial production numbers. Infocoms and consumer electronics have been good. Medical technology has been relatively good. Transport engineering and petroleum not so good, bringing down general manufacturing. So, the numbers. The numbers, I guess, there's an element of consistency there. But, look, the big numbers, I guess, for next week is obviously our PMI at the end of next week. We'd be looking for, to see some, transcending of some of the recent IP numbers into potential, outlooks and numbers that we gather from the PMI numbers. And also, of course, we've got our URA private home prices quarter-on-quarter numbers that are due at 8:30 in the morning on the 1st, which would be Thursday. And the third big number for the week, of course, US unemployment numbers. That is expected to fall as well from around 8.4%, I think it was, in August, down to 8.2% in September. And obviously, a sub number we'll be looking at too is the actual participation rate, hoping to see that actually rise in the US as well.
All right, this has been Market View Wrap on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero. On the phone with me, Jeff Howie, strategic market analyst from the SGX.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.